This is my story. I'm a believer and follower of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm in recovery and I struggle with alcoholism. I was born in Manhattan in 1949. My mom and dad were about as wonderful as parents could be. My dad worked very hard, and I rarely saw him back then. He worked 6 days a week and slept Sunday mornings away. I don't remember ever seeing my dad go to church. Everything seemed so perfect, but as I got older, I picked up little snippets of information, and I would listen and observe, and I found out my uncle and my grandfather were alcoholics. It tore me apart to see my dad live the last years of his life with Alzheimer's disease. And when he died, a part of me died with him. I realize now that his love for me was truly a reflection of God's love for me. When Mom died, I took a turn for the worse. There was always something about drinking alcohol that attracted me. Being an Italian-American family, there was always wine on the table. Even at a very young age, the children were allowed a small amount of wine. I loved it. I loved the taste. I loved how it made me feel. Everyone seemed to be happy. It was part of the celebration of life, whether it was a holiday or one of the weekly Sunday dinners. I loved it when my grandpa or grandma would dip a piece of bread into the wine and give it to me. I would always come back for more. At 13 years old, I remember sneaking wine that was always available in our home. And then it was on to the hottest stuff that was easily accessible in the bar in the finished basement. I loved it. I loved the taste of it, the way it made me feel. I was funny and very confident with my friends, especially the girls. Little did I know at the time how I was making a fool of myself. Back then, it was so easy to get alcohol. The drinking age was 18. All the guys had phony draft cards. And the liquor store clerks couldn't care less. In a pinch, there was always an older brother around who would buy a bottle of Tango or a six-pack for me. One summer upstate New York, I remember being with a girl in an isolated area by the lake and so drunk that I puked my brains out everywhere, including on her. There was a time at Long Beach, New York, where I drank so much cold 45 malt liquor on the beach in the hot sun that I nearly drowned myself lying face down in the ocean. My friends had to grab my arms and legs and pull me out of there. That was a big laugh for many years. I laughed right along with them. Little did I know at the time that I had a serious problem that would lead to the insanity that would get me to the point where every problem I had, every time I was in trouble, every fight I had with my wife, every regret, every disappointment, every time I nearly killed myself or worse, someone else, and mostly all the pain and hurt I caused the people who I love the most and love me the most was because I'm an alcoholic. Whenever there was pain or disappointment, I thought drinking was the answer. I was so unhappy about what I was doing with life. I was disappointed in my career choice. I made foolish decisions, and I regretted not doing more with my life. I would get drunk after work and have to face my wife, who would be so angry, no matter what, stood by me. She understood I had a problem, but things got worse. I blacked out and crashed my car into a road divider. Another time I crashed into a telephone pole and was taken unconscious to the hospital. Time and time again, I could have killed myself or even worse, killed someone else. My drinking constantly got me into trouble. It caused me to lose jobs, and my relationship with my wife was taking a turn for the worse. She didn't trust me, and I was constantly lying to her about where I was after work when she asked why I was so late. How many times did the Lord have to warn me before I realized I had to change the way I was living? Obviously, I was convinced I didn't have a problem. I got drunk at a church breakfast. Yes, you heard it right, a church breakfast. I was part of the kitchen crew, and one of the guys brought along a bottle of Sambuca to put in our coffee. I was at the grill, and the bottle was right next to me, and I was in heaven. I drank a lot of coffee that morning. I left the breakfast drunk and slammed into a car occupied by a woman and her two young sons. I just kept on going and shortly arrived home, and then the police came. I was out of it, and my daughter and one of her friends were upstairs, and my wife and I were downstairs with the policeman. My wife begged the policeman not to arrest me, and he didn't. But looking back, he should have. To make things worse, my wife was friends with the woman who was driving the car I hit. I was incredibly selfish. I was summoned to court and had the nerve to call the woman, being my wife knew her, and ask her to write a letter to the court in my defense. This is the way an alcoholic thinks. On another occasion, I was pulled over by a policeman, and I argued with him until he got out of the car so he could, until he made me get out of the car so he could arrest me. I spent the night in jail, and my wife had to bail me out. My lawyer got me out of that mess by paying a fine. For years, I held on to my resentment towards that policeman. I was angry, and I thought he had no business treating me that way. There were several other encounters with police. I always thought I was right, and it always had something to do with my addiction. More anger, more regret, more reasons to get drunk. My life was about me and where I would get my next drink. I was going further and further into debt, and I was hurting people, friends, family, my wife, children. But it was all about me, and I was never wrong. At this point, I still hadn't realized that God had given me a multitude of signs and warnings. I know now it was God who finally made me see I had a serious problem. I was raised a Roman Catholic and went to Catholic high school, but I was not enthusiastic about going to church. My father never went to church. My mother went occasionally. My mom tried to convince me of its importance, but of course it didn't work because it wasn't a family commitment. I believed in God. He was out there somewhere, but nowhere near me. Sometimes I thought about getting closer to God, but I had no idea how. You see, I had total control over what happens to me. I needed to close the gap, not God. Little did I know that he was right there next to me all along, but I was too blind to see. When there was anger, resentment, and regrets, I had total control of the situation. I got drunk. God was there, and all I needed to do was turn my life over to him. I started going to Alcoholics Anonymous a little over 10 years ago, with some success. I didn't drink for about 6 months while going to meetings. And then I figured I could do it without any help, so I stopped the meetings and was back to drinking after about 2 months. It started at a work Christmas party where I got very drunk. Right after the first of the year, I was fired. I went back to AA and managed to stay sober for 5 years. I thought I had it licked, but I had no defense against old John Barleycorn. I am convinced he is the devil in disguise. I thought I had my drinking under control and I could drink like normal people, have a couple of beers or a glass of wine or even a cocktail or two, and then stop and not drink until the next weekend. I had it all figured out. I'll drink just one and stop. I'll only drink at night. I'll only drink on the weekend. I'll only drink wine. I'll only drink beer. I'll only drink when I went out to dinner. Or I'll only drink when I'm not driving. Or I'll only drink at home. On and on it went, and nothing worked. The problems in my life mounted. I was in and out of work, and I almost destroyed our marriage. I finally realized I needed help. I couldn't do it alone. All I was doing was destroying my life, and I was on the road to disaster. I got myself into a program at Emerson Hospital and went back to AA. I joined a Big Book Step Study group, found a sponsor, and started the 12 steps. Step 1, I was powerless over alcohol, and my life had become unmanageable. Step 2, I came to believe that only God could restore me to sanity. Step 3, I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. It took me 17 months and a thick notebook full of my writings to complete all 12 steps. And with each step, I realized more and more that God was the answer to my problems. I finally realized he was with me all along. So often I was looking for help without noticing all the signs he gave me, without realizing how much he loved me even though I'm a sinner. I went back to church, but I was disillusioned with the Catholic Church. I wanted to belong to a church where Jesus and the Bible were the focus. and wanted a Christian Bible church and not affiliated with any particular religion. I found Crossroads online, even though I had driven past there many times. A little over 2 years ago, the Lord sent me to Crossroads. It was a beautiful Sunday morning, and it didn't take long before I realized I had found exactly what I was looking for. I was welcomed with open arms over and over again. I met Jim Lombardi, and he immediately took me under his wing. He talked to me about turning my life over to Christ. It was the beginning of my new life as a follower of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It wasn't an easy decision for me because I didn't think I deserved it. I wasn't good enough. I was afraid I would fail. What if I sinned again? How often could I ask God for His forgiveness? Jim kept assuring me that He would forgive me over and over again. But I thought if I did this, I would have to do it perfectly. Everything I've ever done in my life would either be not doing it at all or taking it to the extreme. When I took up running, I had to run a marathon. When I drank, I had to get drunk. If I decide to turn my life over to God, well, then I have to be God. Hadn't I already learned that I'm not God? I don't have control of my life. I had regrets about decisions I've made in the past. Were they really my decisions, or was the Lord guiding me? Of course He was. I realize that now. In fact, many good things happened to me because of what I thought were my bad decisions. Rather than knowing that God is watching over me, come to think of it, He has certainly done a lot better with my life than I have. I certainly haven't lived my life perfectly. I'm a sinner. I'm not perfect. I'm exactly what He wants me to be. The next time I saw Jim at church, I asked him how I go about turning my life over to Christ. He just told me to do it. Being so used to the rituals of the Catholic Church, I couldn't believe it could be so simple. He told me to do it tonight. He knew I was ready. That night, I said these words: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and I need Your forgiveness. I believe that You died on the cross for my sins and rose from the grave to give me life. I know You are the only way to God. So now I want to quit disobeying You and start living for You. Please forgive me, change my life, and show me how to know You. In Jesus' name, amen." A few weeks later, I was baptized here in the pools at Crossroads. A short version of how I turned my life over to Christ was read in front of many members of the Crossroads family. It was one of the best days of my life. I believe this is a day-to-day, moment-by-moment choice. I don't think it is something that I can do just once. I'm still going to sin daily. With every decision I make, no matter how big or how small, I need to go to Him. Pray over it, read the Bible daily, write my journal daily, make sure that my decisions are His decisions. There are a lot of decisions and choices I make every day to give it a broad one-time choice. I think I start to feel different when I start recognizing His will and choosing it over mine in my daily life. I believe that that is an action that I must take constantly. It is the choices I make in my choices to drink or not to drink, my choices on how I interact with my family, my choices on what I watch, listen to, etc. Choices on how I react when I'm angry. Choices on what words come out of my mouth. The list can go on and on. When I turned my life over to God, He began to work in my life, every part of it. The more I seek Him, the more He works in me. Everything I do is to be for the glory of God. Jesus said, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Matthew 6:33. Forgiving myself was an essential part of my recovery. This was very difficult for me because it was so easy for me to point my finger at someone else and blame them for what was going on. It was always hard to look at my role in any situation. As a matter of fact, I hated looking at myself and what my role was because I didn't want to admit when I was wrong. I always thought it was everybody else's fault. This came especially easy when I was drinking. That is when I said what was on my mind and didn't care what was even said or who I hurt in the process. Then when I sobered up and was confronted about it, I would feel terrible because I couldn't take it back. I would then beat myself up for days on end, and of course apologize. It was during these times that I made so many mistakes, made irrational decisions, and hurt so many people. I know I can't change my past. I also know that as long as I do my best today to make amends to the people I've harmed and move from my past, I can wholeheartedly forgive myself for the things I've done, and I could then be at peace with myself. I know this is true because I'm sleeping better, I'm making amends, I'm handling my responsibilities, and I look forward to working on myself every day to be the best person I could be. Paul said, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death." Romans 8, 1-2. I realize every day that there is a chance I'm going to fail. God knew that when He first created me. That's what grace is all about. Grace reminds me that even though I'm weak, in God's eyes I can be strong. Through grace, God can use my weaknesses for His glory. Every day He uses ordinary, sinful people for great and mighty things. I was ready to give up. I was tired of failing, getting up, and falling again. I thought I'll never be able to conquer this. I needed to get to this place. I realized I can't fight the battle on my own. God had me right where He wanted me. When I felt my weakest, He was ready to jump in and use that weakness as strength. Once I accepted the fact that I'm weak, the power of Jesus Christ was able to work through me to tackle life's struggles and to show others the way to Christ. My first instinct is to give up on myself, but the grace of God gives me courage to admit my mistakes and move on. Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Paul said, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest in me." 2 Corinthians 12:9. My relationship with my wonderful wife is getting better and better. I realize it will take a long time for me to earn her complete trust, but I'm working very hard to make that happen. Today, by living a life that demands rigorous honesty, I have gained integrity. I'm so much better for it. Facing the truth about all the many ways my disease had manifested itself was quite painful. But once my denial was shattered, I felt a new freedom and a new happiness, which I could not exchange even if I could go back and change my past. I believe I owe it to God, to my family, and to myself to do all I can to stay sober, to heal the wounds I caused while an active alcoholic, and to give myself the greatest opportunity to live out the steps on a daily basis. While I still have much work to do to improve my marriage and other areas of my life, my relationship with my wife has been deepened and renewed. My relationship with Jesus is growing. I feel His presence in my life by acknowledging Him each day. I think of Him in my heart and mind just as I would a friend. I talk to Him. I tell him how I'm feeling, what's worrying me, what I need to accomplish, and what I need help with. I make every effort to read His Word on a daily basis, usually when I first wake up in the morning. I start with a prayer, and every day I ask Him to keep me from drinking alcohol. When I'm hurting, tired, angry, resentful, and stressed out, these are the times I'm at my weakest. Thoughts of picking up a drink cross my mind. This is the way my mind works, and how John Barleycorn, also known as the devil, works. I'm thinking, what's the use? Look at the way I feel. Look at the way things are going. I need a drink. I must stop whatever I'm doing, even if I'm at work, and find a quiet place and pray for the strength to overcome these feelings. Recovery is a wonderful thing, but it's hard work and a lifelong process. I will always be an alcoholic, and I will never be recovered. I will always be recovering. It's a victory when I attend a wedding with an open bar, or I'm out with people at work and I resist the temptation, always with God's help. My wife always remembers to tell me how proud of me she is. I love that because it helps me to build up the trust that was once totally gone. As crazy as this may sound, I needed to go through all the struggles and difficulties to reach the place where I am now. I thank God for his watching over me when I was at my worst. I thank God for getting me to the point where I realized I was powerless over alcohol and needed his help. I thank God for restoring me to sanity and to know that I need help on a daily basis. I thank God for the people he has placed in my recovery that I'm grateful for, especially my wife. Without her, I would be dead or in jail. She stuck by me through thick and thin and forgave and forgave and forgave, just as the Father has forgiven me. Where most women would have packed it in, she stood by me and believed in me. Then there is my sponsor, Scott, who patiently guided me through the steps during those grueling 17 months. He was a gift sent to me by the Lord. And Jim Lombardi of Crossroads Community Church, who was like a big brother to me, even though he's younger than I am, who recognized that I had something to offer and helped me to realize I was ready to turn my life over to my Lord and Savior Jesus. I am grateful for the members of the Big Book Step Study meeting I attended who was so aware that it was God who was the reason for recovery, who opened up my eyes to realize that God was the answer. I am thankful for Celebrate Recovery and the opportunity to share my story, as well as know that while I believe I have something to offer, there is so much to gain, I gain, by what is shared by others. And of course, my immediate family for their support and understanding. And of course, my family here at Crossroads. I believe that my God has given me a gift to share with others. Jesus said, "No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden, or under a bowl. Instead, he puts it on its stand, so that those who come in may see the light." Luke 11:33. God gave me this weakness to help build his kingdom. I must share my story with as many people as possible. They must know my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has saved my life and that he is here with us every day of our life. It is because of experiences like mine shared with others that eyes can be opened and see and experience the gift of God's love. I have an obligation to share this gift that God has given me with others. This was God's intention from the very beginning. I believe my story can be a sign of hope for others, helping those who are wandering in the darkness of despair to see a glimmer of light, and then the radiant glow of the love of our Lord Jesus. God has put a life message within me. When I became a believer, I also became God's messenger, who wants to speak to the world through me. Paul said, "We speak the truth before God as messengers of God." When I feel I don't have anything to share, that's the devil trying to keep me silent. I have a storehouse of experiences that God wants me to bring others into his family. The Bible says those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony of God in them. 1 John 5. Verse 10. My testimony is the story of how Christ has made a difference in my life. Peter tells us that we were chosen by God to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you. I share my story at every opportunity. Personal experiences are the essence of witnessing. Simply reporting my personal experiences with the Lord. Jesus says, "You will be my witness." He wants me to tell my story to others. Sharing my testimony is an essential part of my mission on earth. First, it is unique. There's no other story just like mine. So only I can share it. And if I don't, it'll be lost forever. I may not be a Bible scholar, but I'm the authority on my life. And it's hard to argue with personal experience. Personal stories are also easier to relate to than principles, and people love to hear them. They capture our attention, and we remember them longer. Unbelievers would probably lose interest if I started quoting theologians, but they have a natural curiosity about experience they've never had. Shared stories build a relational bridge that Jesus can walk across from my heart to the hearts of others. My story is my way of sharing the good news with the world. I am sharing it with my family, my friends, with members of my church, with people I work with at AA meetings, and with strangers whenever I have the opportunity.